in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Phantom Island.
Welcome back to that old Phantom Island, brought to you by Home Field. I'm sitting here with Ryan Naney, who just laughed when I said that old. Anytime I do proper Southern affectation of anything, you laugh.
Yeah, I'm from Tampa, dude.
Yeah, as I say, you're...
My parents are from California.
You married a Tennessean. You live in Tennessee.
Yeah.
You're around... You work with almost exclusively Southerners now.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff still tickles you, doesn't it?
In certain moments. I didn't expect you to start the show with that old Phantom Island.
That old. That's old. So, a buddy of mine one time... You remember those music compilations like Now and stuff?
Sure.
Buddy of mine grew up on a farm in outside of Sykeston, Missouri, in the Arkansas part of the Boot Hill. And his grandma got up one day when they were all teenagers, and she's like, grabs a CD off the counter, and she goes, "Huh, look at this old hip hop. That's old Fat Joe." So to this day, sometimes I'll answer the phone when he calls, and I say, "That's old Fat Joe." Old is a great modifier to sound colloquial in Southern.
Sure.
Also, taking someone's name and either lengthening or shortening it relative to what they're normally called is a way to also do that.
That's old Fat Joseph.
Yeah. So you can just be like, the world calls me by my last name,
yeah.
But you know me IRL.
I would say people either call you by your last name or by your first and last name.
Correct. Rarely do you hear the word Steven unless it's Mrs. 38 Godfrey, mm-hmm. And you can feel the air chill when that happens. So my buddy will call me Steve.
It's your wife and my son are the only people I hear call you Steven.
Yeah. Well, your son and I, we're bros. We're bros. He's not quite yet old enough to just, I'm just going to come by, pick him up and be like, cool, we'll be back in a couple hours.
Sure.
But it's happening. All right. We actually have some college football to talk about. You can listen to this entire conversation, which is going to get on point actually in a painful way. We got the fun patter, the pablum, the nonsense out of the way because you had a series of questions while I was you just rudely interrupted me one day while I was probably doing something super busy on mm-hmm. my side of the office.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the throes of the college football coaching carousel cycle. Well, we're in the throes of the first cycle. People are still getting fired, and we're speculating as to who might fill those jobs and others. This thing drags until February. People often forget that, like, oh no. We're going to have listeners and subscribers like asking me about a defensive coordinator position in the ACC.
Right.
It's a big cycle year.
Maybe Clemson's.
Maybe Clemson. Maybe Clemson's for their new head coach. Go to phantomisland.show to listen to this entire wonderful conversation. That's it. We're going to get into it. You came to me with a series of questions, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
And also I want you to sort of tell the audience, like, where was this coming from? Why were you curious?
So, I will start with the homerism built into it. Florida opened, by the time we're recording this, it's been like 3 weeks since Florida opened, maybe a month.
Yeah.
LSU opened shortly afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately there becomes this conversation about LSU is a better job than Florida. Or at least some people want to suggest that LSU is a better job than Florida. As a Florida fan, I have a little trouble with that, but I will admit that, like, my own personal biases come into play here. This was also admittedly before the governor got very publicly involved.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if people still have the same
perspective. Before we went full Robert Penn Warren.
But rather than make this about, hey, what's a better job, Florida or LSU, I wanted to sort of pull it way, 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 way back to the conversation almost. Because this happens every cycle. Jobs open, and we start going through them as people who aren't candidates for these jobs
mm-hmm.
and aren't hiring for these jobs and sort of saying, like, okay, here's the pecking order. This job is better than this one, which is better than this one, but that's not as good as this one over here. And it occurs to me, both in just sort of thinking about it critically and talking to you about coach movement and what agents are sort of thinking about entering the season, et cetera, that I don't feel like that conversation is an accurate reflection of reality. So if I'm just going to distill this down to a simple question or a mm-hmm. simple topic,
okay,
I want to know about how coaches actually think about what is a quote-unquote good job.
Oh, man.
And not the way that media members or fans or just people on social media think about what is a good job.
This is going to be tricky. And so you provided these questions to me, and I thought about, well, how can we do this in a podcast format where every response to every question or qualifier for the job isn't, well, it depends.
Because that's, like, to be clear, I asked you this, and you said, I'm going to make some phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you did. And what you got back was basically, this is a highly, to make it a little more fancy than it depends, is this, that's a highly subjective question.
You know who really has the best job? Stephen Godfrey and I, because we don't have to worry about the favor of this booster group or that message board. No, we get to do this job in very large part thanks to the smart and kind and thoughtful paid supporters of Phantom Island, all of whom went to phantomisland.show to sign up for their memberships and now get to hear the rest of this episode and everything else we put out on this humble podcast feed. You can join them too. The barrier to entry starts at just $10 a month. You go to phantomisland.show, sign up today, and find out everything we had to say about which jobs are actually good and why.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.